We're in this series called The God Who Speaks. And we're asking this question: what is the Bible and is it trustworthy? What is the Bible and is it trustworthy? I would guess that most people in this room have submitted their lives to the Word of God. So if this is the Bible, we've placed the Bible as authority, and we've submitted our lives to say, whatever that says, we're going to do. Is that a good idea? Is that really a good idea? A lot of people think that is crazy. That's crazy. This book was written to different cultures. It's written thousands of years ago. It's absolutely crazy to put your life under its authority. That's why it's important that we talk about what is the Bible? Is it trustworthy? Is it crazy to obey this book? This raises all kinds of questions. Questions like, are there any errors in this book? Like, it takes a while to read through the Bible. There's a lot of stuff there. Are we sure there's not one error in this thing? It raises questions like this. Why do we have the Bible that we have? Like, every religion has its holy book. How do we know that we have the right one? It's a big question. Questions like, who really wrote the Bible? Like, who is the author? Well, did God write it or did people write it? If it was just people, like, why should we obey it? Like, why, there's some guy's opinion, why should we obey that? If it was both, how? Like, how does that work, that God and people wrote the Bible? Like, how should we understand this? Questions like this: how do we know that the Bible has been preserved accurately? Like, what we have now, does that really represent what was written when Paul wrote it? Or did that get changed significantly through the years? It's not like they had copy and paste print on a computer. Like, you got guys handwriting this stuff out. Do we really know that we have the what was written then? Is that what we have today? These are big questions, and there's a lot riding on these questions, right? Because if the answer is no, like, if the Bible is not trustworthy, like, what are we doing, right? But if the Bible is true, if there are no errors, if this is from God, what is everybody else doing? So this matters. This matters that we trust the Bible. It matters that we trust it. In fact, I think sometimes people who are lukewarm, sometimes maybe when we're lukewarm, what's happening, are we taking the Bible seriously? Are we taking this as if it really is God's spoken word? Last time we looked at the question of the canon. Not like a canon you load and fire, but the canon as in a measuring stick. And that's what the word we use to talk about what books are in and what books are out. Catholics have their own set. Jews have their own set. We have ours. Well, how do we know that ours is the right set? Let's review this for a minute, because this is like 3 weeks ago we looked at this. Let's talk about Old Testament review. Remember, here are some of the books of the Bible. The books in red, those are the Apocrypha. And so if you open a Catholic Bible, you'll see these books. You see books like 1st and 2nd Maccabees, Wisdom, Tobit. A Catholic will accept these as Scripture. These are inspired. These are the words of God, so we must obey them. Should we? Well, we looked at this answer last time. I think the best reason to say no, these are not Scripture, is to say that Jesus did not accept these books as Scripture. The Jews in Jesus' day did not accept these books as Bible, as Scripture, and so neither should we. We saw this. I should point this chart out. This is the Jewish Old Testament, and those are the exact same books that we have. Now, they're organized differently, and notice what the last book is. It's Chronicles, and it's not 1st and 2nd Chronicles, it's just Chronicles. This is just how the Jews organized their Bible. So they had three divisions: the Torah, the Nevi'im, and the Ketuvim, or the Law, the Prophets, and the Writings. It's interesting, Jesus spoke about this, remember, and he referenced the Law of Moses, the Prophets, and the Psalms. So what was the Old Testament in Jesus' mind? It was these books right here. Well, how do we know that the Apocrypha isn't what Jesus was talking about? How do we know Jesus didn't include that? Well, Jesus defined what this list was in this verse, in Luke 11:51. He said, from the blood of Abel to the blood of Zechariah. This verse fascinates me because Jesus is talking about the very first martyr in the Old Testament and the very last martyr. How do we know that? Because Genesis is the book of the Bible that talks about the blood of Abel dying. And what book does the blood of Zechariah? What book does Zechariah die? Well, he dies in the book of Chronicles. So that shows us these are the books that Jesus is thinking of. So we should accept these books. That's the Old Testament. What about the New Testament? How do we know that we should accept the books, the 27 books of the New Testament that we have? Well, the Gospels, Paul talked about, he said that Christ died for our sins. Well, what books of the Bible did we hear about Jesus' death and burial and resurrection? Learned about that in the Gospels. And Paul talks about according to the Scriptures. So Paul looks at the four Gospels and says, those are Bible, those are Scripture, those are God's words. What about the writings of Paul? We looked at this. Well, Peter, in his letter, talks about Paul's writings. And I love this. He said, just as our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given him, wrote to you, as also in all his letters. So Peter is talking about all of the letters of Paul. And he says, speaking in them some things which are hard things to understand. You ever read Romans and scratch your head a little bit? Like, okay, got to reread that sentence. What was that all about? Well, Peter kind of throws a bone to that. He's like, yeah, some of the stuff Paul says are hard to understand. But what's he do? He equates Paul's writing to the level of Scripture. What about the rest of the books? We have the Gospels, all of Paul's writing. That's practically the New Testament, but there are other books as well. Should we accept them? Yes, we should, because the early church, I should say, was meticulous in only accepting books that were written by apostles, only accepting books that were early. Now, some people say, well, there's so many fakes, and there were. They'll say, there's so many fakes in the first century. Why should we accept these books but not these books? There's so many fakes, you can't know. I actually use that reason a different way. What happened after 9/11? What happened to airport security? It went through the roof. It was impossible to get through the security line because there are so many fakes that raises security. And that's what happened in the early church. So the early church was absolutely meticulous in which books they put into the New Testament. They accepted, I should say. All this to say this, all this by way of review, we should have extremely great confidence that the 66 books that we have in our Bible are the right books, that these are the books that are, in fact, Scripture. And that should give us confidence that what we're reading and what we're memorizing and learning is true. Okay, that's a lot of review, but it's been a couple of weeks. Let's turn to the question of the night. What does it mean when we say that the Bible is God's Word? In other words, who really wrote the Bible? Who is the source? Source is going to be the key word tonight. And we're talking about this word, inspiration. What on earth is inspiration? That's a word in Christianity that is used a lot. We talk about the inspiration of the Bible. What on earth is that talking about? Here's a quote. This is the Lamar's doctrinal statement, LBC doctrinal statement. It says this: we believe that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. We believe the Old and New Testament Scriptures are the final authority in all matters of faith and practice, inerrant in the original writings. So this is officially, this is what we believe as a church. And I highlighted in green something. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. What on earth does that mean? Well, you guys probably know, this crowd probably knows, that this is quoting 2 Timothy 3:16. Which says this, there's gotta be an Awana kid that knows this verse. 2 Timothy 3:16, anybody? Yes. Well done. I like it. You're on it. Now, he just quoted ESV, which is different than NASB. NASB says this: all Scripture is inspired by God. What did he say? Breathed out by God. We're gonna get to that. We're talking about this. What does inspiration mean? There have been a lot of theories about this. One theory is that it's the dictation theory. So it says that the biblical writers were basically just robots. Like they didn't put thought into what they said. They were just writing word for word, like and the word. That's one theory. Is that how we should understand that the Bible came to us from God? Well, on one hand, yeah, there are some passages like in the prophets where God's like, this is my message, this is what you must say, and just write it down. But other books seem to go beyond this. I mean, we have a really personal touch from people like Paul. He's like, I remember you guys. I remember visiting you guys. So it seems like as we read Scripture, it's more than just the and the idea. Okay, so what is, if that's not what it is, what is it? Well, another theory is the conceptual theory. And this means God gave to the biblical writers like Paul, John, Moses, he gave them a general concept. A general concept. And he's like, here's what I want you to communicate. And so you just kind of go your own route, communicate this, how you're going to communicate it, and it's on your own. The idea is kind of like this. It's kind of like if you watch a movie or you read a book and you're going to tell your friend about it. And so you say, hey, I read this really good book. Here's the general plot line. And you accurately tell the plot of the book or the movie. But here's the problem with that. That leaves room for some errors. That leaves room to say, well, yeah, the general idea or the gist of what the biblical authors had to say, that was inspired, but there could be some errors in the Bible. This is why some churches are really comfortable. They'll say, oh, yes, the Bible is inspired. All of the Bible is inspired, but you got to ask what they mean. It's interesting, when I graduated seminary and I was looking for different jobs, it's interesting if you look at what churches believe. Some churches will be, oh, we believe in inspiration. Absolutely. Do you believe in inerrancy? Do you believe that there are no errors in the Bible? Not so much. It's interesting. Some people, oh yeah, inspiration, yes. But only if you define it the right way. Should we understand it this way? No, I don't think that's the right idea. We'll talk about that. Other people say, well, the Bible is inspired this way. You know, the Mona Lisa, beautiful painting. That's just inspired. Maybe if you listen to a song and you say that whoever wrote that was just inspired. Some people say that's what the Bible, how the Bible is inspired. Is that what it means? Let's talk about this. What does it really mean that the Bible is inspired by God? Let's look at the definition, the meaning of the word inspiration. We already heard it. It's God breathed or breathed out by God. That's the ESV. All scripture is breathed out by God. Part of what makes this so debated is that this is the only place in all of the Bible that we get this one word. This is the only place that we hear this breathed out by God word. So there's debate about what does it mean. But I think it's clear. All scripture is God breathed. Here's what I want you to do. Have you ever tried speaking without breathing? Like, is that possible? Can you say words without breathing? Now, I know you're all wondering and secretly want to try right now. Because that's how that works. But, I mean, you can't. You can't. I see some people trying it right now. No. You can't speak without air coming out. So I think when the Bible says that all scripture is breathed out by God, here's what it's saying. It's saying all scripture is essentially, all scripture is spoken by God. We might say it this way. All scripture, or that God is the source behind all of scripture. Mankind is not the source. People are not the source. God is the source behind all of scripture. That's what this means. All scripture is breathed out by God. God's the originator of all of it. Source is a really critical thing. Why does it matter so much that God is the source of all scripture? It matters because source determines authority. Let's say you're driving your car and you're going a little too fast. And you see this car coming behind you. No lights, no sirens, no nothing. Just a random citizen coming behind you. And they like start pushing you to the side of the road. And you're like, oh man, what's going on? So you pull over and they come up to your door and they say, you're speeding. Like, I'm going to have to arrest you right now. Do they have authority over you at this point? No, because they're not the right source. Now, if you see the police officer pull you over, then he's got authority. Source determines authority. So that's why this really matters. Who is the source of the Bible? This is an important question because ultimately the Bible, the authority of the Bible rules over our lives. If the source of this book was Moses, David, Paul, if that was the source, it really wouldn't be any different than a book by J.I. Packer or John MacArthur or John Piper or R.C. Sproul. If this was just humans, like writing down some good thoughts, what authority would that have over us? If there is a God, and if he has spoken, we must listen. If there is a God, and if he has spoken, we must listen, whether we like it or not, whether we agree with it or not. Here's what happens. People come to the Bible, and they read the Bible, and they say, I don't agree with its morals. I don't agree with the boundary it sets for marriage. I don't agree with the rules that it gives me. So therefore, I reject its authority. That's a problem. That's to get the cart before the horse. If there's a God and he's spoken, whether you like it or not, whether you agree with what he says or not, you must obey. So this is why source matters so much. It matters deeply that God breathed out all of Scripture, because it means that Scripture holds authority over our lives. All right, let's keep defining inspiration. So the first part is just the definition of the word. It means to be breathed out by God. The next question is this. How much of Scripture is God breathed? How much of Scripture is God breathed? Is it just the concept that's God inspired? To what extent is God breathed? 2 Timothy 3:16 is the key text. All Scripture. But Jesus, I think, goes far enough and he really defines what all Scripture is. Listen to Matthew 5:17. Jesus said, "Do not think that I came to abolish the law or the prophets. I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or stroke shall pass away from the law until all is accomplished." This verse is saying this. Jesus came to fulfill the law. And that he did. That he did. He fulfilled the requirements of the law. But the law is still eternal. It's eternal because God spoke it. And so God is eternal and so his word is eternal. How much of the law is eternal? All of it. Not even the smallest letter, not even the smallest stroke shall pass away. I think what this is saying is Jesus views the Old Testament is that the entire law would last forever, down to the letter. Not just the gist, not just the vague idea. The very smallest stroke of the pen would last forever. Here's what that means. Here's why this is important. I think you look at this verse. How much of the Old Testament is eternal? Everything. How much of the Bible is God's word? Everything. Even down to the last letter. This is why it matters that we take care to listen to every word of the Bible. Now, I don't want to throw something under the bus here, so I want to be careful how I talk about it. But some of you may have the Message Bible. I'm actually a fan as long as you understand what this is. The Message Bible is not the Bible. It's a paraphrase of the Bible, not a translation. And it actually claims that. It says this is a paraphrase of the Bible. The Message can be a great study tool, kind of like a commentary on the Bible, if you will. But you must never call it the Bible itself, because the inspiration of Scripture extends to every word of the original writings. That's very important. It matters that we value that. Let me make another point on this. Here's why it's important that we talk about all Scripture being inspired. There's a group called the Red Letter Christians. Derek, was this you that talked to me about this? I researched this group. The Red Letter Christians is a group that it really prioritizes just the words that Jesus said. So a lot of Bibles have the words of Jesus in red. And so what they're doing is they're saying, well, what words in the Bible really are the authority? What words in the Bible really matter to us? Those are the words that Jesus said. The other stuff, that's maybe open to interpretation. That is wrong. That's wrong because the Bible's claim about itself is that all Scripture, God is the source. It's not just the red letters that God's the source of. God is the source of everything. From Genesis to Esther to Revelation, God is the source. Okay, so what do we have so far? What does inspiration mean? First, it means that all Scripture is inspired by God means that God is the source. He breathed out the Bible. He spoke the Bible. Second, all Scripture means all Scripture. In Jesus' view, even down to the smallest letter. You maybe heard theologians give a label to this. It's the verbal plenary inspiration of Scripture. So verbal means down to the very words, not just vague ideas. Plenary means full or all. So all Scripture and all words, not just the words of Jesus in the gospel, are inspired. This raises another question. Can God really be the source if human authors were involved? This is an interesting question. It's obviously clear that God uses human writers. He used people like Paul signs his letters. Jesus tells us it was Moses who wrote about him. So God uses human authors. But it's also very clear the Bible refers to itself as the very Word of God. Let's look at some examples. This is from Acts 3:18. It says this, "But the things which God announced beforehand by the mouth of all the prophets, that his Christ should suffer, he has thus fulfilled." Do you see what this is saying? It's saying there are things that God has spoke, but whose mouth did it come out of? It came out of the mouth of the prophet. So who is speaking, God or the prophet? Well, both, but who was the source? Who was the originator? It was God, not the prophet. Listen to Acts 1:16. "Brethren, the scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit foretold by the mouth of David." It's kind of the same thing here. You see a similar idea. God the Spirit spoke, and whose mouth was it? The mouth of David. So who's speaking, God or David? Well, both, but God is the source. David in 2 Samuel 23:2 says this, "The Spirit of the Lord spoke by me, and his word was on my tongue." That's a very interesting phrase, right? It's not my word was on my tongue, it's his word was on my tongue. So we get this picture that when we hear the words of Scripture, the source is God. God is the originator of these words, and he uses humans to speak them. Jesus said this in Matthew 15:4. He said, "For God said," and then he quotes the Bible. He quotes a verse from the Bible, "Honor your father and mother." And another quote, "He who speaks evil of his father and mother, let him be put to death." So Jesus is quoting the Bible, but he calls it God said. I think that's interesting. Psalm 119, I don't have a slide for this, but it talks about the law, the scripture, and over you hear the scripture referred to as God's word. Like this, "Your word have I hidden in my heart so that I might not sin against you." Or, "How can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping your word." So David, as he's writing this, clearly understands the law, not just a book that Moses wrote. He understands it as the very words of God himself. A couple more. Hebrews 1:1, same thing. "God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers in the prophets." Same idea. I think we're asking the question, how? How does this all work? We get that it happens, but how does it work? That's a tough question, but 2 Peter 1:20-21 gives us some hints. "But know this, first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God." How does this work? How can it be God that speaks through people? How can Paul's letter have its own style and come as if from his own mind and his own mouth, and yet also ultimately be from God? Well, here's what we know. The Holy Spirit guided these authors, and then they spoke. It doesn't just mean dictation. It means God guided their very thoughts, their very style, their very tone, their personality, and God guided them to choose the very words that they would choose. In this way, the personality and style differences can exist, but it was the Holy Spirit moving them. It was the Holy Spirit guiding the entire process so that Paul and Moses and the others said exactly the words that God wanted them to say. Could God really use imperfect people to give us a perfect word? I heard this illustration once. You can draw a straight line with a crooked stick. You can draw a straight line with a crooked stick. I think that's what's happening when we come to the Bible. Okay, this is feeling almost more lecture-like tonight because this is thick stuff. This is like theology stuff. But I hope you see that it matters. It matters that we have trust that every word in the Bible is from God. It's not from man. Here's a couple points to remember. Number one, God is the source of all Scripture. Everything's breathed out by God. Source matters because it determines authority. If you're a kid and your brother comes into your room and says, "Hey, you got to clean up your room," what's the very next word you respond with? "Who says? Who says? Who's the source?" That's what's happening. When we read the Bible, that's kind of the question we're asking. Who says? It's not David. It's not Paul. Ultimately, Who says? It's God. Source determines authority. And since God is the source, number two, we must obey. Have you ever read the Bible and disagreed with what it says? That's happened to me before. Where I read the Bible and I said, that can't be true. That can't be true. Is that really right? But if God is the source, it is the authority. And like it or not, agree with it or not, we must conform to Him. Last is this. God utilizes words. God didn't just communicate through vague ideas. He didn't just communicate through His creation. God has spoken. He has spoken in language. And He's spoken a lot. We can know what He's like. We can know what He's not like. We can know a bit of the future. We can know much about the past because God uses words. Isn't it amazing that God comes to us and speaks? I think that's just so amazing. I want to end with a verse that we looked at in Sunday school this morning. This is from Romans 15. This is Paul. He says, "For whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction." So the letter to the Philippians wasn't written to Lamars, but it's for Lamars. The Bible wasn't written to us, but it was written for us. That through perseverance and the encouragement or the comfort of the Scriptures, we might have hope. Let's go ahead and pray. Lord, thank You for speaking. Thank You for revealing who You are to us in words that we can understand. The verse we just read says that it describes the Bible as the encouragement or the comfort of the Scriptures. Lord, so often we need that, but then we don't read the Bible. We go to something else. Lord, would You help us to go to the source for encouragement, for strength? The source ultimately being You. We pray this in Your name.